Welcome back to Lives K-3, the kids version, which is where I help parents and educators and caregivers and other people who are working with and want to impact youth to be able to apply principles to everyday real life. Many times I tie this to the Bible study that we're walking through on the Tuesday episodes of the Lives K-3. Not always, but that's what I'm going to do today.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
I am a goal person. I plan. I have more goals than I have time. But yes, I am a goal person. And there's a couple of things that I have learned, and I'm still learning about goals. And I think one of the things that you can do as a parent is to help your child to identify goals and then teach them how they actually achieve those. I know there's a lot of different people and there are different styles and approaches to goals. So it's not a matter that there's one certain style, but there is something about teaching kids about goals that equips them for life. In one way, it teaches them to be intentional and to not just live by default. And another thing that it does is it helps them to create self-awareness so they can identify what's meaningful to them, what is significant to them, what do they want to achieve, what do they want to pursue. And I'm not just talking here about big goals in terms of going to college or careers. Absolutely, these things we're going to talk about today apply to those big things. But you don't want to wait until your kid is getting ready to decide what they want to do for, quote, the rest of their life, or what kind of college degree they want to get, or if they're even going to go to college, before you get them acquainted with the purposes and the processes for setting goals. You can start this with very young kids. You can work with a three-year-old to have them set a goal to save so many stickers or reward points or pennies or nickels or dimes or dollars or whatever to be able to save up enough money within a week or 2 weeks to go and buy X. You can involve children in planning a really amazing birthday party and having a goal so that everybody that comes has a really good time. Now, obviously, you can't make that happen for every single person, but you can set a goal to create the opportunity for that to happen. And you don't have to think in terms of these big, long goals that go on and on and on forever. Maybe it's a one-time goal. Maybe you're going to have a family vacation, or maybe you're going to have a one-day staycation, and you can talk to your kids about what's our goal going to be for today? What's your goal going to be? Now, here is what doesn't work. You can't make goals boring and abstract, and you don't want to make them to be something that a person just needs to be doing anyway. If you're taking young kids out and your idea of a goal is you're not going to hit your sister and you're not going to yell at your brother, you need some different goals. The motivation for that is going to wear off pretty quickly, and we do want to be teaching kids that's not how you show up in life every day anyway. But what you can do is you can achieve that same aim by helping them to establish a positive goal that will keep them so occupied that it lessens the likelihood that they're going to slap and scream at each other. Maybe your kids never slap or scream at each other, and God bless you if that's true. And I absolutely think it's possible to get to a point where that does not become part of everyday life, and that is something for you as a parent to make as a goal. But in the real world, it takes some work to get there and to actually make that happen. Or maybe that's just me, and that was just in my world raising 5 cents. In the Tuesday episodes, we've been looking at Nehemiah, and on the most recent episode, I taught from the verses 11 through 16 in Nehemiah chapter 2, and what we saw were three things not to do if you want to sabotage your goal. Now, it's not that Nehemiah did these things. He did just the opposite of these three things. But one of the things that we looked at with that is to obtain all the information that you need when you are setting out to begin with. Now, for today's episode, I am going to focus mostly on older children. But you all are smart, and if you've got younger kids, then you can apply this to them, or you can just file this away for good information when your time comes. But for children who are like in high school and they're starting to look ahead and they're thinking about, what am I going to do post high school? Because they will only be asked that question like 335,000 times, plus all of the times that they ask themselves that. Well, how do you answer that? What Nehemiah shows us is that he assesses all of the situation that's before him. His goal is to see the city of Jerusalem rebuilt, like the walls around the city, which is what protected the city. And this is his goal. He goes out and he obtains firsthand information. And he doesn't just get a little bit, he dives into the weeds, literally and figuratively. And that's something that is important for your kids. If they are interested in becoming an accountant, don't just go, okay, awesome, you should get an accounting degree. They need to dive into the weeds. They need to go talk to people who are actually accountants and find out what that work is actually like. If they want to become a veterinarian, they don't need to just watch veterinarian shows on television or YouTube videos about it. They need to go and talk to real veterinarians and more than one and find out what's it really like to be in this line of work. They need to dive into the details and get that information for themselves firsthand. Another practical tip that I would say, having spent a lot of time with 5 sons going on a lot of different college visits, and that is, yes, you go and you do your whole thing with the college admission counselors, and I'm not throwing them under the bus because they can be great to work with, but don't stop there. Go talk to the professors, the ones who are teaching in the classroom. Because here's the thing, they're the ones who are most impacted by how students show up in the classroom. It's not the admissions counselor. The admissions counselor is a little bit more like the person in the sales office when you go to buy a car, and the professors are a little bit more like the mechanics who see which automobiles consistently show up in our shop because they're not well made, and which are the ones that we very seldom ever see except for routine maintenance. Professors don't want their classrooms filled with a bunch of students who don't want to be there or they're not qualified to be there. So go talk to the professors. Well, your kids go and talk to the professors. You can certainly be a part of that. But they're going to give you a perspective and some information that you're not going to get any other way. And then, of course, talk to actual students on campus. And I don't just mean the student that gets assigned to be your tour guide. Talk to the students who are just sitting there in the cafeteria. Just sit down with them and say, hey, can I just ask you a few questions? I'm thinking about coming to school here, and I just wondered if you could tell me and ask about any questions that you have. Get their feedback, because they don't have any skin in the game. They're not trying to sell you anything, and you'll get some honest answers and feedback from them. This isn't just applicable to going to college. This is true for everything in life that we want to set out to accomplish. Get all the information firsthand and dive in, and don't just get a little bit, but get all the information that you need. I remember one college visit that we had looked at their brochures, and their website, and it just looked phenomenal. And it ranked really high on my son's list of schools that he thought was really going to be maybe in his top three picks. We go to this campus, and I kid you not, we never even stop and get out of the car, because the difference between what showed up in the brochures and the website and what is there in real life could not have been any more different. But if we hadn't actually gone and gotten that information and seen it for ourselves, we could have invested a whole lot more time in trying to make that happen, and we would have missed out on other opportunities. Whether this is with a career, whether it's with a college, whether it's with a relationship, a direction in life, and maybe for the student who says, I don't want to go to college, that's the last thing I do. Don't just have them read the books about the entrepreneurs who never went to school, the big Bill Gates of the world, and who look at them. Because I guarantee you, for every Bill Gates in the world, there's a whole lot more people that are sitting in jobs, that are dead-end jobs, that are saying, I wish I would have done something different. That doesn't mean that it had to be going to college. But we don't want to engage or train our kids to engage in fallacies. Go and talk to people that didn't go to college, who have had success, not at a Bill Gates level, but just in your circle and your community, and get the information that's real about what were the challenges, what were the benefits, why would they make that choice again? Would they make that choice again now? In today's culture and in today's economy. And then talk to people who would say, no, I wouldn't make that choice again. It probably sounds like this is all about kids just going to college. I'm only using that as an example, because the far more important aspect here is that we work to train our children to set goals and then to know how to engage in the processes that make those goals achievable. And this isn't the only way that makes a goal achievable, if only that were the case, but it is an important step that sometimes gets skipped over because we think it's just intuitive. If I have the goal, somehow I'll just know how to get there. And we don't always get the kind of necessary information that we need for ourselves firsthand. Whatever the ages of your children, have them set some goals. Maybe it's just one, maybe it's seven, whatever it is. And this isn't like an assignment that you just hand off as some sort of chore, but rather help them to see that this is part of living an intentional life, so that when opportunities open for them, they are prepared to step into them, and how they can develop their capacities and their abilities that God has given to them. So when that time comes, they're ready to step forward and to make happen what God has put into their heart. Most importantly at all, a great goal to have as an individual and as a family is to read and study the Bible for yourself. And Nehemiah is a fantastic book to be able to do that with. Sometimes it's easy for Christians to be intimidated by the Old Testament, and I get that if you're starting to read in the middle of Leviticus. But Nehemiah is a great Old Testament book if the Old Testament intimidates you or your kids. It's a great story. It's something that even young kids can relate to if you take the time to flesh some of that out for them. And certainly some older kids are going to be able to see the relevance of some of this pretty quickly. And in the podcast, that especially on the Tuesday episodes, as I walk through this, my encouragement to you is to read the Bible for yourself along with it. Nehemiah is so rich, we're usually only covering just a few verses at a time. And while I don't just recommend that you read 5 verses a week, still being able to read or listen on an audio version of the same material over and over entrenches it and embeds it in your mind, and it brings out new ideas and insights and information. David wrote that he had hidden God's word in his heart that he would not sin against God. And that same principle that was true for him is still what we need to do, because the more that we have the word of God embedded in our heart, the more we will be alert to what is sinful, what is not good, what is not pleasing, what is not going to serve us well or to be faithful to God with. And we will also be more empowered to say no to those things and to say yes to what is right. All right, my friend, you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.